prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Good morning, Truth Revolution. I am Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
And this is where faith and reason meet.
Head on.
I love faith.
I love reason.
Let's get together.
Hey, you dropped your reason in my faith. You got faith all over my reason.
Get your faith off my reason. No, we like both faith and reason. And today we're asking the question, is believing in one true religion intolerant?
You know, I really think I dated myself just now.
Sorry. That's disgusting.
Yeah, that was an old Reese's commercial. So
we're trying to be serious here. No, right. But is believing in one true religion, I mean one true religion,
right,
intolerant?
Right, like we say, Jesus is the only way, just like he said he is. You know, some people take exception to that.
Well, I think it can cause violence.
It can.
Oh,
wait a minute.
Wait.
It has called violence.
And people are going to be mad at us today.
I think we're going to get some hate mail.
I hope so, because at least then we get mail.
Well, you know.
Just kidding.
I don't necessarily like hate mail, but at least it opens dialogue.
No, I like it, especially when we get legitimate questions.
Right.
And we're going to do a listener question today about where is heaven? Listeners asking, where is heaven? He wants to know. So we're going to discuss that, which is, I think, is a great question. We're also going to do a Bible contradiction and solve one of those, as we usually do every single week.
As usual.
But back to the question at hand. Let's see. I mean, what is your initial thought when I say one true religion? I mean, what comes to the top of your mind?
To the top of my mind?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Okay, yeah, mine too. I mean, and after that, does belief in one religion as better than another religion, is that an acceptable view?
I believe it's an acceptable view if you're a Christian, because I mean, we are taught as Christians, you know, out of the Bible, Jesus himself said, I am the truth, the way, and the life, you know.
And then he said, nobody goes to the Father except through him.
Right, he took the words right out of my mouth. Well, he took the words right out of his mouth.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's the thing that, you know, those of us who are saved, we have this knowledge. And those who are not will rail against it, because then it looks like we're being judgmental, you know, and think we're better than everybody else. And that's not really the case.
Well, and here's a bigger question. Does belief in one religion as better than another cause violence? Is it intolerant? I mean, that's really what we're saying. And as a pastor, I am saying perhaps it is intolerant. Perhaps it does cause violence. And it's probably true in some respects that believing in religion can cause some people to become violent.
Well, you know, I think that people on both sides of this take this the wrong way at times. As Christians, we are taught to be tolerant of other people.
Well, we're going to get there.
Am I getting ahead again?
Yes.
All right. But, all right.
Preview.
Yeah. But, I mean, as Christians, we're taught to be tolerant. But as non-Christians, it's like, it totally looks like we're being judgmental. And a lot of people are.
Well, and here's the deal. For some immoral people, religion makes good excuses to hate people.
Oh, it does.
Because, you know, they're just all wrong and they're stupid, and they take this hate that's inside of them and they attach it to religion, because then they can say unequivocally, those people are idiots.
Right.
And I don't like their culture. I don't like their ideas. And, well, what do we do about this?
Oh, we need
the fact that religion can cause violence.
You know, everybody needs a change of mindset. We all need a mind change.
I've got a book here with me called The Reason for God by Timothy Keller, Belief in an Age of Skepticism. Really, really good book. You guys ought to get this. Maybe, Dave, can we link this on the website when we post it up there? This book, he outlines three approaches how to handle the fact that religion can even cause violence when people believe in this. He says, what do we do about this? And the first approach he says is a possibility is to outlaw religion.
Ooh. But haven't they done that in places?
You're exactly right.
Has it really worked?
He says, quote, there have been several massive efforts to do this in the 20th century. Yeah. Soviet Russia, Communist China, Nazi Germany were all determined to tightly control religious practice in an effort to stop it from dividing society or eroding the power of the state. Yeah. The result, however, was not more peace and harmony, but more oppression.
Yeah, you know, had those things not happened, had we not had those examples to follow, I might be a stupid kind of guy and say, yeah, sure. Sounds like a good idea to me.
Well, it seemed to make sense. Like, hey, we got religion, this thing that people fight over. Let's just get rid of it, and then people won't fight. But the problem is that's not true. That's not what happens in the real world. In addition, outlawing religion never actually makes it go away. Mm-mm. In China, where they've outlawed it, as well as pretty much everywhere else, it has made it stronger.
Right.
In China, they actually kicked out the missionaries. And then what happened was the native Chinese Christians, they became stronger leaders because now they had to take it upon themselves to become the indigenous leaders of the church. And it became even stronger because now it wasn't led by Western people. It was led by themselves.
Right. So basically, what you're saying is the oppressed people become teenagers. And they do totally the opposite of what the parent says. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, they become totally, and I say that kind of tongue in cheek, but it's true.
Yes.
You know, I mean, so, they rail against the authority.
And right. Outlawing religion doesn't work. It only causes more violence by the people who try to outlaw it.
Right.
Now, another approach to fix the problem of religious intolerance is to condemn religion or to suggest that all religions are just equal. Hey, guys, don't say that one's better than another. Everybody needs to agree all religions are equal.
Yeah, we'll have an equilibrium.
I meet a lot of people
who
say, look, it just matters what you believe.
Yeah, and I see a lot of that happening today.
Like, I met a lady a couple weeks ago. She said, hey, the Bible's good as long as we let people take it however they want to. Mm-hmm. Really? Now, my first response would be, okay, well, what if someone wants to use it to do violence? Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Well, see, of course not. She would say, well, no. So what you're really saying is something that's not consistent. You're saying we should be tolerant to everyone as long as they agree with me.
Right.
But you can't say that. You can't say everyone should be tolerant as long as they agree with what I believe is the correct version of tolerance.
Right. Well, you get to the point then again where we get to where it's being oppressed. I mean, the same state where it's being oppressed because now you have to agree with one single person.
Well, what you can say, though, is I believe there is a right and a wrong, and that is wrong. You can say, hey, here's the Bible. These are God's words. I believe there's a right and wrong way to read it. And the way you're reading it is wrong.
Right.
What you can't do is say, hey, however you want to read it is cool, man.
Well, and there have been people in the past that have used the Bible for their own gain and
right, but don't miss this.
Okay.
Because if you say, hey, however you want to read it is fine, you have just contradicted yourself. Because you are saying the only way to read it is to read it so that anyway is okay. And that's the only way to understand it.
Okay, I got
you. See, that is a contradiction. Right. You have not been consistent. You're saying everyone be tolerant, and you have to see it my way.
Yeah, that's kind of a crazy absolute.
Right, it doesn't work. Someone asked the Dalai Lama, we got a sound clip here. They asked the Dalai Lama whether or not, what he thought about having one true religion. And so here was the Dalai Lama's concept or response to having one true religion.
Like a medicine, you see, according different illness, you need different medicine. So you cannot say this medicine, no matter according what illness, but this medicine is best. This medicine is only Garuda.
The only medicine.
The only medicine. You cannot say that. To some people, the God, concept of God is so powerful in order to be more compassionate person. So to some people, that faith, that religion is much more suitable. And for that person, that religion is best because most effective.
Okay, could you catch what he was saying there?
Right, that there is not one particular medicine that fixes all ills. Each person's different, and my medicine could be good for me, but your medicine could be good for you.
Right, because we might have a different disease.
Right.
And that analogy sounds really good. I mean, if you've got cancer and I have got the common flu, we need vastly different treatments. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, that sounds really nice. I'll use his analogy. Maybe different religions are better for people. If we want a religion that's going to do something specific, do you want a religion that helps you feel connected with the universe? Maybe Buddhism would do that for you. Yeah. Do you want a religion that helps you being practical about helping orphans? Yeah, maybe Christianity would be a good choice. Mm-hmm. Do you want a good reason to visit Mecca? Then go with Islam. But what if there is a bigger problem here? And I think the biggest problem is sin.
You know, I knew we were going that direction.
What if we really all were going to hell because we'd right. all rejected God? What if that was the one common ailment for all of us?
Right. Here's the disease, sin.
Yes.
What's the cure?
And the cure for that is Jesus. He's really the only medicine mm-hmm. that works. He's the one who can save us. Christianity is the only one that has the real solution for that one. And so to say, oh, well, you know, whatever works for you.
Right.
Well, I think the question is, well, what does work for you for the problem of sin? What really works for you? Not what do you like, not just what makes you feel good, not what makes you feel connected, not even what makes you help orphans, but what really works.
Right.
To get rid of this problem that we've all done evil, we've all done wrong.
And we're not talking about the kind of Christianity that people have shown in the past where they're really judgmental and hateful towards other people. We're talking about true Christianity, following the words of Jesus and believing what he spoke.
Right. Well, and we're talking about, you know, the fixing the problem of religious mm-hmm. intolerance. Are people violent when they believe in religion? We're saying, well, people have a problem. They are sinful.
Yes.
People are violent, and that's why they need Jesus. That's why they need a savior. You can't just say, oh, well, look, religion's violent, so let's just let everybody do whatever religion they want. Yeah.
Sounds like an easy cure.
It doesn't make sense, but it does make sense to say, well, yeah, some people are violent people, and we need help for that because we are sinners. We've done wrong. I want you to imagine for a minute you go into a building.
Okay.
And you go up 150 floors up. You're at the top Ooh. Of this building. And you're up there and you feel this wind blow and the whole mm-hmm. building kind of sways a little bit.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, it's just like, whoa, you're just, wow, this is crazy. And then you see the architect come up. You're like, dude, you architected this building.
You architected.
It's a new word. I'm uh-huh. making it up. You architected this building. And he's like, oh man, it was great. I had so much fun doing this. And he's got a backpack with his blueprints in it. You say, did you bring the blueprints with you? And he's like, yeah. So you ask, can I see them? And he pulls them out. Uh-huh. And you're looking, you're going, wow, here's the entrance. And okay, I see why you did this. And oh, here's the floor we're on right now, the 150th floor. This is amazing. And then you start looking at the load-bearing pieces of the building and you notice he used insufficient strength. He used material that would literally crumple if the wind hit this building just a little bit too hard.
Yeah, see, that's the point where I don't know if whether I'm taking the elevator down or going really slowly down the stairs.
Yeah, and then you feel the wind start to push the building and you start to sweat and you think, we're going to die.
Right.
Is it intolerant at that point to say, everybody out now? Is
Absolutely
that,
not.
That's not tolerant. Is it intolerant to say, your math was wrong?
No.
That's not intolerant. That's dealing with reality.
Yeah, that's being real, man.
Right, exactly. And this is this religious thing, if there really is a God who is real, it's not about saying, hey, believe whatever you want. It's about saying, dude, have we done our math right? Do right. we really know who this God is?
Right. Before we start spewing everybody for themselves and saying, whatever's right for you is right for you and whatever's right is right for me, let's find out the truth first.
Yes.
You know?
That's right.
Is there really a God? And if there is a God,
what is he like?
Yeah.
What does he want from us?
Right. And it's not something where it's like we should just go willy-nilly throughout life saying, I think I'll flow this way, then I'll flow this way, because that's what feels good.
Right. It's very easy to say, hey, just believe whatever you want, but that doesn't work in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we got a story about an elephant and blind men who've mm-hmm. felt an elephant. You probably heard this story. Yeah. Is that a good analogy to religion? And does it solve the problem of religious violence? We're going to come back on the other side of the break and talk about that. Also, get on over to truthrevolution.tv, the website.
That's right. You can check out past shows.
Yeah, you can go to Revolution Church Sunday mornings. We start 10:15 a.m. You can watch online live, or you can come visit us in person if you're in the Salina, Abilene, McPherson, Wichita, Kansas, United States area.
There you go.
Wherever.
United States area.
If you're local to the Western Hemisphere, you can visit us at Revolution Church, 10:15 Sunday mornings. Go to truthrevolution.tv, and we'll be right back with a big fat elephant story.
You're invited to Revolution Church this Sunday. Don't wear a suit and tie. Nobody else does. Just come as you are. Revolution Church has a special kids program planned, rocking music, and teaching that actually matters for real life. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Just music, teaching, and a program for the kids. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Check us out online, salinarevolution.com. www.salinarevolution.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Critics love to point out how evil Christianity was during the Crusades.
It's important to note that the Crusades were not limited to the Muslims.
The Crusaders launched attacks against Jews and even fellow Christians.
Christians were raped and plundered just as other victims of the Crusades.
It is true that the worst atrocities befell the Muslims during this period.
But we should never ignore the fact that the Crusaders crusaded against all religious people.
During many of the attacks on Jews, local bishops and Christians made attempts to protect them from the atrocity-filled mobs of the Crusaders.
Many Jews were given protection in churches and other Christian buildings, but this did not stop the Crusaders' quote, holy war.
The case can be made that the Crusades were fundamentally political and not religious.
Jesus would not have led them and did not condone them.
Anyone who uses the name of Jesus for political gain, especially as they kill Muslims, Jews, and other Christians, is using the name of Jesus incorrectly.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same: to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back.
Elephants in the room right now.
There is a big elephant in the room.
Okay, so some people say the way you fix religious violence is by just allowing all religions to exist.
Right.
To say, hey, they're all equal. And what some people have actually said is, hey, all religions, it's just like three blind men all touching a different part of the elephant.
Right.
One guy might say,
well, you got the trunk. And
it feels like what to him?
Like maybe a snake.
Okay, and so he's describing that. The other guy's like feeling the underside, the belly of the elephant. He's like, whoa, this thing feels like a huge, huge tank.
Uh-huh.
And one guy's got a hold of the tail. And he's like, man, this thing's like skinny. It's like a straw or something.
Right.
And they all feel things that are very different, but they're all describing the same elephant. And what some people say is, maybe this is religion. You know, one religion feels a certain part of God. The other religion senses another part of God. And, mm-hmm. and they're all describing the same God. And that's what religions are really like. But is this a good explanation of what religion is like?
Hmm.
Here's the problem with that claim. And Timothy Keller, in his book that we're linking, he points this out. To be able to make that claim, you have to be able to see the whole elephant.
Right.
To know that they're all touching different parts of an elephant. In other words, when you claim that all religions see a different part of God, You have to know the whole truth about God,
right,
to be able to make that claim.
Right, because, I mean, it's like, you can't say, well, they're touching an elephant.
How do you know?
How do you know? Yeah, it's like...
You've seen the elephant. That's how you know.
Right.
The only way you can say three blind men are touching the elephant is because you've seen the elephant.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can say all religions are describing the same God is because
you see God.
You've seen God for who right. he really is, the entirety of it. And so you know more than all religions put together if you're saying that. And that's a ridiculous claim. Plus, let's say that you... Let's just grant the analogy. So it doesn't even make sense. You're contradicting yourself. But let's just, for fun, we do this a lot. Let's just grant that you're right.
Right.
Okay. That one religion sees one part, another religion sees another part. What if that elephant had some power and it chose to give sight to one of the blind men so that the blind man could see the elephant for who he really was? You see, this is what God is doing in what we say God is doing is in Christianity. We say we were blind. We say we could not see God for who right. he really was, and that when Jesus came, he showed himself for who he really was so that we could really know him.
Right. So what you're saying is basically, say the guy at the tail is all of a sudden not blind.
Yeah.
He sees the truth.
He does.
So he goes over to the guy that's holding the belly. He's like, no. Dude, feel up here. This is an elephant.
Right.
You know, like,
Stop being intolerant.
Stop it. Yeah, stop being intolerant.
Right.
Yeah, I get it. That's
yes,
awesome.
Exactly. And what we're saying is that when we see Jesus, we're looking mm-hmm. at God for who he really is.
Right.
And we have reasons to believe in Jesus, the resurrection. You can go to some of our other shows. We have logical reasons for that. But our whole point really here is that there is an objective truth. There really is a God who exists. And we need to ask, who is God? What is God like? What does God want from us? If there really is a God, it doesn't make sense to say, hey, just everyone believe what you want to believe.
Right. If you're going to get into the realm of religion, man, you need to search. Always be a seeker, because we believe that the search for truth will always bring the truth. And we believe that we have found that truth.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to do a Bible contradiction before we run out of time today.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction today brought to you by Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Yeah, just let's pick one of these verses from each part here.
Well, we'll say basically what they're saying, are we saved through works, like Christians say?
Okay.
Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works.
Okay, grace, not works.
Right, it gives a couple of other verses, Romans 3, 28, Galatians 2, 16.
Okay.
Look them up, we'll have them on the deal. On the
website. Truthrevolution.tv.
Okay, this is directly in contrast to James 2:24. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, not by faith alone. And of course, they give the what Jesus said in Matthew 19:16-21. Basically, you got to do all this stuff to get treasures in heaven, man.
Keep all the commandments, sell your possessions, and you'll have treasures in heaven.
Right.
Okay. Well, this is a really simple Bible contradiction to solve. The first C in our cracked acronym is context.
Right.
Context. What is the context of James chapter 2? I think Ephesians chapter 2 is taken in context. We are saved by grace. Okay, mm-hmm. It's a gift of God that saves us, not our own works. So what is James talking about when he says you're saved by not faith alone? Read the entire context. He says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Now, why would he say that after he immediately says, you see, God just credited it to him. God just gave it to him.
Right.
Because what Abraham did was he believed God. And after he believed, he took action.
Right.
And that proved that he believed.
Right.
And so God... It's like, oh, you really do believe.
Right.
So I'm going to credit this to you. I'm going to give you this gift because you really did believe me. And so what it's saying is not, oh, faith alone is evil. What it's saying is, look, you're saved by faith. God credits the righteousness to you, like he says right there in James. Mm-hmm. God credits it to us as a gift.
Let's put it in layman's terms. I like the Broncos.
Yes.
Okay? So I'm going to be a big fan. And you can tell by walking to my house that I'm a big fan of the Broncos.
Okay.
It's the same thing. And I'm going to do things that, you know, I get to arguments with other people about the Broncos and versus the Chiefs and stuff like that. And my actions show that I am a Broncos fan. Same thing. Our actions show that we are a Christian.
Right. Abraham believed God and they did something about it. And so what James is simply saying is faith alone saves us. but it is never faith alone. Faith works always come after faith alone. Faith alone saves us, but faith is never alone.
Faith should always spring you to action.
So, and that's simply what he's doing. I mean, you have to read it in context. James right there says that God credited to him that it wasn't Abraham's deed, but that God, but it's not by faith alone. Faith is never alone. It always comes with something that we do in response to the belief.
Bible contradiction.
All right.
All right. Now, we also want to hit a listener question today. So before we get too far into this show, we only got like 5 minutes left. So I definitely want to make sure that we hit this listener question.
I got a question.
All right. Listener question today is... what does the Bible say about the location of heaven?
It's
up. There are numerous biblical references to the north. And, of course, the listener includes some references.
Yeah, he included some Bible references there. Okay, so what do we think? When we're talking about heaven, I don't want you to think in terms of where. I want you to think in terms of who.
Okay.
Heaven is where God is. That's where heaven is. Now, we get confused because it's like Psalms 33:13, it says, from heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. Mm-hmm. But certainly this doesn't literally mean he's up. I mean, if he was literally far up and looking down from heaven, he wouldn't be able to see anyone in South America or Australia,
right.
You know, but that's not, or maybe up is the other way. Maybe he wouldn't be able to see us, but that's certainly not what this verse means.
Right.
All locations about heaven in the Bible are really describing transcendency.
Right.
Galatians 1:8 says that heaven is where the angels dwell. Ephesians 4:9, it's where Jesus was before he came to earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where Jesus is right now. It's interesting, though, 2 Corinthians 5:1 calls heaven our eternal home.
Uh-huh.
Although the Bible clearly teaches we're going to live on a new earth. So if it's our eternal home, but we're going to live on a new earth, then, well, you see, I think we should think of heaven as more of a what than a where. It's a relational place with God, where it's where our souls go, it's where angels are and where God is, but it does not take up space in literal space-time sense.
Right.
God's not material, he's not spatial, and neither are our souls, neither are angels.
Right. If God created the universe, he doesn't necessarily have to be in it, because, I mean... just like, how can you create something that you're in?
Sure. You know, and if you wanted to, that's exactly right. If you wanted to describe it in terms of being in something, you could maybe describe it as another dimension.
Right.
Or maybe use that as an analogy. But think of it more in terms of being in the presence of God than a place. So where is heaven? It's with God.
Amen.
Well, where? With God.
Right.
And we're going to come and live on a new earth, and then heaven will be there because God will be there. So heaven isn't a where, it's a who, it's a what, it's a with God.
I got a question.
All right, that was a good question, really.
Yeah, I like that question. All right, now, back to the religion. Is religious belief intolerant to say that you believe in one religion? Does religion cause people to be hateful and violent? Look, we've seen that no solution to get rid of religion works.
Right.
Okay, you can't outlaw it. That doesn't solve the violence.
Right. You can't just gloss it over and say, oh, what's good for me is good for you. Good for me, and what's good for you is good for you.
Right, because then some people choose to be violent. You can't, and you're not going to say, well, that's not good. You have to be consistent. You have to say there's a real world out there.
You have to be tolerant of violent people.
Here's what's interesting. If we go absolutely, absolutely hardcore and do everything Jesus wants us to, that's where people think, oh, this guy's a freak. He's going to kill people because we're too religious.
Right.
But actually, if we're hardcore and we do everything Jesus wants us to, Matthew 5, Jesus is talking, he says, you've heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. In other words, Jesus is saying, do good to everyone,
right?
Even non-believers, even those you disagree with, even those who hurt you. I think the problem isn't being too religious. The problem isn't following Jesus enough.
Right, not being religious enough.
Yes. I mean, too many people use God as an excuse to hate, but that's not what God wants from anyone. Jesus in Matthew 22 was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He says, love God.
Mm-hmm.
But then he also feels the obligation to add that, and also the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself.
Right, he even says, The second is like it.
Yeah.
You know?
I love how Jesus felt obligated to throw that in there. I mean, if we really want to solve the problem of religious violence,
right,
we need to all follow Jesus as best we can.
Right. And Jesus even goes on to say, the law and the prophets all hinge on these two commandments.
That's right. So the solution to religious violence is Christianity.
Right.
Real Christianity, not, hey, I hate somebody, I'm going to use God as an excuse
right
to hate them.
Yep.
But really following Jesus, doing what Jesus would have us do.
Amen.
All right, truthrevolution.tv. Come on out, visit, go to the website.
See you next week.